Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, October the 24th, 2010.
Well, we're celebrating the Lord's table tonight and the songs that we're singing tonight, just trying to focus our attention upon that. A song that I haven't sung in quite a while with you is just entitled, Because We Believe, kind of a statement of faith. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we begin tonight, and you repeat after me as we sing these verses of this. We believe in God the Father.
We believe in God the Father.
We believe in Christ the Son.
Stand as one.
We believe in the Holy Bible.
We believe in the Virgin Birth.
We believe in the resurrection.
We'll ask the men to come at this time. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to give. Gracious Father, for this offering, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Lisa. I'm a child of the King. Introduced a song to you, I guess, through the choir a number of years ago entitled The Power of the Cross. And it was one of the first songs that I'd seen of Keith and Christine Getty. And, of course, In Christ Alone is another one that we're very familiar with. And they write some wonderful, wonderful hymn text. And this is one of them that I think is one of my favorite. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day. Sing it with me.
Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten men, nailed to a cross of wood. This the Christ became sin for
I've asked Dan Borma if he would to come and share with us tonight before the Lord's table.
I thought this song tonight would be a song that would go along with the Lord's table tonight. So I want you to listen to "I Should Have Been Crucified." I was guilty with nothing to say, and they were coming to take me away, when a voice from heaven was heard that said, "Let him go. Take me instead." And I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. And I should have hung on the disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. A crown of thorns, a spear in his side, and all the pain should have been mine. Those rusty nails were meant for me, but Christ took them and he let me go free. And I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. And I should have hung on that cross in disgrace. Oh, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. And I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. Oh, but Jesus, God's Son, oh, Jesus, God's Son, I said, Jesus, God's Son, took my place.
All right. Well, in case you're wondering, I'm still a member here. You don't see me a lot because I'm working third shift and I'm got to get sleep, and in the mornings I'm in the back with Future Church, so I don't want you all to think that, yeah. Anyways, this is a rare appearance. First of all, I just want to thank you, thank the church so much for your support in this trip. I've learned this summer that life's an adventure God gives you if you're willing. And sometimes even when you're not willing, and you don't know exactly what's going to happen, but the trip started back when we got back from Ireland, and we had a week, and then all of a sudden they said, "All right, well, guess what? The Camp of the Woods needs help." And it's like, okay. Well, it sounded from the announcement from the pulpit, it sounded like, "Oh, it's just kitchen staff. Okay, that's cool." And I talked to the Torners that night. They're like, "Yeah, I think we're gonna go up." And then the next day, this text comes as I'm on my way to tacos on Monday night. And it says, oh, by the way, if you want to go to Canada, you got to let me know by today or tomorrow. It's like, okay. And that was Elise texting the group. And so it wasn't just kitchen staff. It wasn't just women they needed. They needed men to staff this event and or this camp. And what I didn't know at the time, and this is just what's so awesome, because sometimes you don't know when you have been an answer to prayers. But when we got up there, and they had a prayer night to pray for the week, they shared with us that, well, we didn't know if we were gonna have enough staff to do this, even while we were planning it, because we were looking at who we had and who we were gonna have, and we got to, I think this was called Junior 3, and we said, well, we don't have enough staff, but we're just gonna go ahead on it on faith and pray that the Lord provides. And so that was really neat. So this is a really neat opportunity, and so many stories to tell. I can't even get into them. I'll just say that they let me drive the van, and on the way up, everyone made sure they knew Jesus. So we pull out of the Arby's parking lot, and poor JB gets slung out of the seat, and he starts singing "Jesus Take the Wheel." But so it was a really neat opportunity. I can now say several things. One is that I've actually been to Camp of the Woods and worked there, which was really neat. I'd heard about this ministry my whole life from everyone who's been there. I've even been up to Camp of the Woods when my dad videotaped a video for them, but didn't get to do anything. But so that was really awesome to actually get to be a part of this ministry. I can also say I've been on a mission trip with Bill Painter. First time opportunity to do that. And that I got to witness Mike's hardcore fix-it skills. You got a good maintenance guy here. He did everything. He blowtorching, weed eating, plugging tires. I think I taught him how to plug a tire. You can ask him about that. But so it was really neat. And I was on a cabin. My cabin was called the Bears, and I had age group 7 to 10, and a lot of the kids there were fairly grounded in scripture, and they either were either family members of staff, staff people, or went to church up there, whatever. There's two kids in particular that I'd like you to pray for. Their names were Dustin and Caleb, and Caleb was always wanting to go home, and very lonely, and so, you know, I gave him piggyback rides and just had a good bonding experience and with him. But if you could just remember those two kids. But it was really neat. What was awesome, just to see God working up there. John Cofield would have talks every morning, and on the way back from one of the talks, he would take a guy's cabin and a girl's cabin. They'd go off, and the two other cabins would do games, and then the next two cabins would go, and my cab, the group I had went with, we had finished, and we were on the playground, and I saw Elise Torner talking to this girl, and it was this real, you know, in-depth conversation. She's showing them the, you know, gospel, you know, the gospel bands, and the wordless bracelet, and so I'm like, oh boy, something's going on over there. And so I'm praying for it, you know. And, you know, then I catch out of the corner of my eye, and I'm like, oh, they're praying, what's going on? And so I'm like, Elise gets done, and she comes over, and she's smiling, and she's like, well, we have a new sister in Christ. And so that was exciting. And then JB, he was a leader in the Wolves cabin, and I had the younger kids in my cabin, and they had the older kids, and they were just a mess. I mean, they were just like, you know, crazy. And you could just hear, like, I mean, into the wee hours of the morning, you could just hear, you know, quiet guys, you know, and they're trying to talk to them. And so the first day was just crazy. And so, you know, they need prayer, and they're always being last for dinner because they're so rowdy and rambunctious. So, you know, they need prayer, and they're just, you know. And then we hear that, well, one of the guys in the cabin accepted Christ. And after this guy accepted Christ, and all the other guys are like starting to ask questions, and they're calming down, and they're listening to the stories that JB and his co-counselor are telling them, and it was just really exciting. And then another guy came to know Christ, and it was kind of funny because the first guy who came to know Christ, what was his name? Rain. He was like, man, this is so exciting. And so other kids would start asking questions, and here's, you know, a day old convert, and he's like trying to answer the questions. And it's like, no, Rain, we're excited for you, but not yet. You need to grow a little bit. So it's just really exciting to see God work there. And they went from being this wild, crazy bunch of kids to, you know, a group that actually listened to what was being shared during the night devotion times. And so that was really neat. And if you could just keep the whole camp ministry in your prayers. I never knew just how busy it was. And JB and I and some of the other people were just up there for a week. And I mean, you know, you get up there and you're worn out on day two, and here's some people that have been doing it for the whole summer, you know, and you got Lily, who was up there in the winter, and then, you know, she was there through the whole summer, and Rachel, who's been up there for the whole summer, and, you know, they're all rotating shifts and job positions and stuff like that, but, just keep the Camp of the Woods ministry in your prayer, because they need it, and, it's an awesome, awesome ministry, and, I recommend that if you never had the opportunity, and the opportunity presents itself, that, you go up there and be a part of it, because it's really awesome. And thank you once again.
All right. Well, this is my second summer going up. But as one of the guys up there, Daniel, said, every year is different. This year it was kind of a smaller group. We didn't have, like, last time I went, there was like six cabins every week. We only had five cabins. I think maybe four at one time. But it was a smaller group that also meant that we were closer together. And there was some, you know, there was some returning faces, and there's also the new faces you get to meet and get to be close with. The cool thing about having a small group is because everybody knew each other, they were able to see what the needs were. Like if somebody like got a cold or something and they were feeling really bad, they had somebody else would be willing to step up and take their place for them for a little while. Or if somebody accidentally slept in, which has happened to me, then they had somebody to would come and wake you up and then would take your job for a little bit until you could actually get out of bed. It was just neat stuff like that. But it also meant, because we were so short-staffed, that we had a lot of work, a lot of times more than we probably could have handled by ourselves if we hadn't had our friends. We found ourselves really tired. A lot of times you could find the counselors and such in the common room, which is just a room where we could get together, asleep on the couch, because they just couldn't go any further. And then they get up and go be with their kids for a long time and then try to sleep at night. So it was really great when the Tennessee group came. We had been praying about them for a while, just for somebody to come and help us out, because it wasn't looking that bright. There would be like, there wasn't enough guys to be in the cabins. And then there were girls. We're very short, too, because we had to have all the kitchen staff and then the cleaning staff, plus counselors and such. So we were really kind of worried about that. But it was so great when y'all were able to get the group together, the grace group, as we call them, and send them all up for our most needed week. It was supposed to be our busiest week. It ended up that some of us got to get a little bit of a break while we let them take over. It just showed us that God really does care about our work. I mean, these people had come from all different places. We had people from Indiana and Ohio and Minnesota and different parts of Canada. The only thing we really had in common was our God and his work, and just to see us all come together and work so well together. I just want to thank you all so much for supporting us. I'm just making this short and sweet, but I just can't wait till next summer. This has been a really life-changing ministry for me as well.
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lily Martin. I've been gone for kind of a while, so there's a lot of new faces since I've been home. I actually was thinking about this week when I was kind of coming up with what I was going to talk about tonight, and I realized it's been almost exactly a year since I got up in front of you guys and talked to you about Camp of the Woods, and I thought that was kind of cool. On December 26th, I got on an airplane headed for Camp of the Woods in Canada, and I actually ended up getting in there the next day because my flight from Minneapolis to International Falls was canceled because of snow, which I found kind of exciting because I'm from here, and I've only seen maybe 3 inches of snow in my entire life. So that was kind of exciting. And then a group ended up picking me up there the next day, and we drove the last 9.5 to 10 hours up to camp. And I got there the day before their winter camp was supposed to happen, and it was for teenagers 13 through 19. And it was going to be a smaller group because a lot of people, it's in between Christmas and New Year's, and so a lot of kids are out of town and that kind of stuff. But I wasn't expecting to really do much for winter camp. I was thinking, oh, I'll work in the kitchen. Just because, one, I'm from the South, I've never seen this much snow before in my entire life, and it's 30 below zero. So I wasn't used to it yet, and so I didn't expect to really be doing much. But they decided to break me in very quickly, and I was a counselor and a team captain. So I was in the snow almost all day long, every single day of the week. But it was really good. I was able to really get to know a lot of the teens that I hadn't gotten to really know over the summer, because I had been close to everyone's age, and so they hadn't wanted me counseling. I was able to get to know some teens, and it actually turned out that being a Southerner kind of comes in handy in getting to know people, because they all felt that it was their job to help me to get to know the snow, and so I had plenty of face washes, and they had a lot of fun teasing me and joking around with me because I wore my ski pants all the time except for when I was sleeping. And they thought that was hilarious because they're walking around in jeans and a hoodie and I'm all bundled up. But it was a lot of fun. It was a very hard week for me, because I wasn't used to it, but, I'm really glad that I was able to team captain and counsel that week because it really opened up doors for later on while I was there. Because before I had left to go up there, Becky Bates, and you saw the picture of the winter staff, currently the only family living full-time staff there at camp is the Bates family, Johnny and Becky Bates and their 4 kids, and then I was winter staff, and then a 23-year-old from Minnesota who's been going up there in the wintertime for the past couple of years, John Dubon, he was up there, and so we were the main winter staff. And we had all kind of been talking before I went up there about what I was going to do when I got up there, and I was going to be working in the office and helping with a women's Bible study. And I ended up getting up there, and yes, I worked in the office, and it was a lot of fun, and I learned a whole lot because I did a lot of the designing of posters and applications and brochures and stuff that we sent out for all of the day camps and teen hangout days that we had on Saturdays and for summer camps. And then after all the applications were filled out and were sent home, sent back, I was able to put those into the computer and send confirmation. So I spent a lot of time in the office, but I didn't end up working with a women's Bible study. That kind of fell through for them. And I'm really, really glad that it did. The week after our winter camp, one of the guys who had been at winter camp and had been there in the summer, Brandon, he was working with a youth group there in the city of Dryden, and he invited us, me and John, out to see a concert that the youth group was kind of hosting, and so we decided, oh, you know, we'll go see some of our campers from winter camp, and we showed up and went to the concert and saw some of the campers, and a couple of the girls who were in that youth group came to me and said, "Lily, we don't have a female youth leader. Will you please be our female youth leader?" And at first I kind of thought they were joking, but then they kept pushing for it, and my first thought was, "Psh, no way, I'm not going to be a youth leader. That's never something I've wanted to do." But God had different plans. Brandon continued asking us back to different things with the youth group every every couple of days, hey, we have a bonfire with the youth group this weekend. Will you please come and help us out? And so after a couple of weeks, it kind of became obvious that we were going to be working with this youth group. And so we prayed about it and talked with Johnny and Becky Bates about it and went in for some training and stuff at the church and then started working with this youth group and became youth leaders. And for a while, I was the only female youth leader, and so I was able to talk one-on-one with a lot of the girls and do some mentoring and everything whenever we were in town. And then later, another lady joined, and she's picked up after I've left and been working with the girls and everything. But it was a lot of fun. It was definitely very hard. I was not used to being around a lot of the type of people that they all were, because they grow up in a culture where their parents will go and for their 12th birthday, you know, buy them and all their friends beer for their 12th birthday party, you know, and it's something that they have just grown up in. I mean, a lot of those kids have had really rough lives, and I've had a spectacular life. I've had great Christian family. I've grown up in this church. And so that was something that I wasn't used to, but it was really good, and it was very challenging, and God really worked through me and through John in that youth group, because when we first started working with the youth group in January, there were maybe 7 or 8 kids that would show up, and by the time summer started rolling around and we had to end up quitting working with them to start working at camp full-time, there are about 25 to 30 kids that would show up every night for youth group, which is a really big deal. That's the second largest youth group in all of Dryden. So that was really exciting for us. And there were a lot of other exciting things that happened during the winter. The Olympic torch came through, which was really cool. I wasn't really expecting to be doing anything too fun because Dryden is this little tiny place that nobody really knows about. But it was a lot of fun. And then the summer started coming around, and I was very sad to have to stop working with the youth group because I had gotten so close to all these kids. But it was time to start focusing more on the summer and getting things ready, and groups were rolling in. We had some work teams come through and some mission camps before the summer started, and Rachel came, and it was very exciting because I was no longer the only girl around my age there. And she came with Savannah, and Savannah stayed a week before going home, and then she ended up coming back later. And it was really cool to kind of transition into the summer from working with a youth group and then having some work teams and stuff where I wasn't necessarily counseling, but it was more of a schedule type thing. Every day, and I ended up doing a lot of cooking at the very beginning, and I don't cook for a lot of people. I know my family is large. We have 7 people in our family, but I don't consider that a lot of people. I learned to cook for 100 people, so I was very proud of myself because I wasn't used to that. And then the summer started, and the very first week of camp, Rachel and I actually got to counsel together for teen camp, and it was a lot of fun. We hadn't gotten to counsel with each other last year, and we had a blast. We were Tennesseans together, even though I had kind of lost my southern accent, and she did kind of give me a little for that one, but I slowly was picking it back up as I talked with her and that kind of thing, but I still don't fully have it back. But we had a lot of fun that week. I had a lot of my girls from youth group coming back, and a lot of girls who hadn't been to camp before that had started coming to our youth group, and we had talked to them about it. They came to camp. And so it was fun to get to see them again because I hadn't seen them in a little while. And then there were some new faces of girls that I hadn't met before, and so that was a lot of fun. And during teen camp, we had something pretty exciting happen. One of the girls who had been coming to camp for years, and her sister had been coming to camp for years, she wanted to get baptized out at camp. And so on Canada Day, July 1st, which was the Thursday of our teen camp, she came out to be baptized in front of all the campers. And it was very exciting because after the baptism, everyone was asking questions, you know, why would she do something like this? And just wanting to know more. And it was very exciting to get to share with them. And she stayed around a little while afterwards to share and talk with the campers so that she could explain further And she had given her testimony, and it really worked in a lot of the girls' lives who had been in my youth group who already did have relationships with God, because then they came to me later and were like, well, I've never taken that step of faith. You know, I'm just kind of going through the motions. I need to rethink how I'm living. And so that was really exciting for me to get to see a transformation in them through that week of camp. And then the very next week, I didn't counsel, and I was a little disappointed about it, but the most exciting thing ever for my summer happened. Part of my family came up to visit, and they were going to stay for 2 weeks, my little sister Jessie and my mom, and then my adopted grandfather, Bill Painter. They came up, and it was very exciting for me because I had really missed my family, even though I did not really let on to it, because you just don't do that when you're older. But I really miss them, and so it was exciting to get to kind of share my second home with them and show them why my heart was there. And so it was exciting to get to see, you know, my little sister running around camp doing things, and my mom working in the kitchen, and Grandpa did all kinds. He was a Mr. Fix-It, too. He was working on everything, building things, and it was so fun to just walk around camp and see people that I've, you know, known forever working there. And then the next week, on a Wednesday, we got a phone call from my sister. And we had to come home. I'm sorry. And I knew I needed to be home with my family and with my sister. And I wanted to be here. I really wanted to be here, but I had 2 hours to pack up my life for 9 months and come home. And I told myself, oh, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. And so I just prepared myself to come home and stay home because I mean, I never had any thought that I would be coming home. My mom kept saying, oh, we'll find a way to get you back up there. I know you know, you haven't said goodbye. But I kind of ruled that option out. And was like, there's no way I'm going back, you know, because I came back for my sister's fiance's funeral. And, you know, I knew that they needed me here more than camp needed me. But God had different plans again. We came home and had the funeral and everything, and the Grace was putting a group together to go back up and help the camp for the last week of camp. And when I found out that they were doing that, I was kind of like, no, it's too good to be true. I'm not going back up there. My mom kept pushing me. She's like, you know, you need to call. You need to call and make sure that they're going up there. You need to get in with this group. You know, you and Jesse need to get back up there. I'll stay here and I'll take care of Molly. And so I prayed about it, and my mom pushed me enough. even I still felt a little guilty, but God ended up giving me peace about it. And the Thursday, exactly a week after we had gotten back, we got in a big white van with the group and headed back up to camp, and it was a very long trip. Aaron told you he drove. It was a little scary, but he did a good job. We got there. We were safe. And yet again, it was really awesome to get to see, you know, my church family up there. The Doms had been up there earlier in the summer, and they were the biggest hit all summer long with those campers. They loved the Doms. Oh, we'd see campers on the weekend, and they'd be like, where are the Doms? Are the Doms in town? Oh, no, they've gone home. What? Why'd they go home? Why aren't they going to move here? So they really loved them, and then this group comes up there, and there's just Grace people everywhere. And I was like, this is so weird, but it's so exciting, because for months before summer, we had just been praying about Junior 3 because we didn't have enough staff. There was no way we were going to be able to go through with Junior 3. And Becky was like, we're still doing it. We're still doing it. God will provide. And then he did. He provided everyone we needed and more, like Rachel said, because people who had been going all summer long were able to get somewhat of a break. And it was exciting. I got to counsel with Elise Torner. And that was really cool. And she became very well known for the wordless book bracelets that she was taking around and everyone was wanting to make and wear. And so I don't think any child went home without a wordless book bracelet and without someone explaining it to them. And that was very exciting. And then that group came back and I ended up staying one last week to kind of say goodbye and, you know, finish getting everything that I had left up there that they were going to send to me. And I was able to, I was able to leave there with peace, knowing that, God had called me home here, even though I still wish I was there, cause that's, he's given me a passion for Camp of the Woods and a desire to be there. But my ministry is here right now. And he has given me peace about that. It took him a little bit. but I was, Jesse and I came home a week later, and we've been in contact with people up in Canada, and I'm still talking to a lot of the girls in my youth group and with the Bates and everything, and we're really praying about going back up in December for 3 weeks for winter camp and to help them get ready for winter camp and everything. As of right now, we don't know if that's going to work out, but that's something that we're really praying about. But I want to thank you all for your support and your prayers for our family when we needed them most. So, thank you.
Okay, so this is the Lord's table, and the scripture tells us, "For I've received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread when he'd given thanks." Now, as we think about this, his table, it's not the table of Grace Baptist Church. So if you're here, you know Jesus is your Savior, then we encourage you to remember the Lord with us at this time. But the scripture tells us that they gave thanks. Dan, would you give thanks for the bread, please? Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So with the bread, we remember who he is. He is God, very God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And with the cup, we remember what he did, the fact that he shed his blood on the cross for your life and for mine. Mike Swanson, will you thank the Lord for the cup, please?
Remember what you have done for us in giving your life, giving your blood, that we might be restored to fellowship with you. I just thank you for that. I pray that we will continue to walk with you as we think of all that you have done. And we're reminded of that tonight. I pray in Jesus' name.
After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you use often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As is our custom, we take a benevolence offering to help with needs of those, both within and without the congregation. So I encourage you to give and to give generously. Father, for this offering, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you so much. I am sorry to do this to you. We're going to sing just one chorus for anyone that absolutely must leave, but I have about three quick items of business for the quarterly business meeting that we need to bring to your attention. So you probably need to stretch, so if you'll stand, please. We'll have just one chorus of something, and then we're going to have these three quick items, and we'll be done. Let's sing Seek Ye First.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.